Jimmy D and the Wolf podcast going live.
Man,
you know what's really funny is I was trying to straighten my hat, looking at myself a minute ago, and I don't know if I've worn it crooked for so long or my face is actually crooked. There's no straightening this.
I think it's your face is crooked. No, I don't know. I don't know. You got some razor blades in the brim there.
Yeah.
Peaky Blinders stuff.
Right.
I'm waiting for the next season of Peaky Blinders.
Yeah. It's a great show, man.
Yeah, and I've been waiting for I want to see the next, I'm at least the season behind of Breaking Bad. And I know there's at least one full season out. And I heard that Bob, the actor who plays Saul Goodman, collapsed on set. Did you hear that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had a medical issue last week or so. He collapsed on set. I hope he's doing fine. He's 58 years old. They're filming another season. I'm at least one season I know is out, but I refuse. It's like my sister, Amy's texting me about our easy ride thing. Anyway, we can talk about that in a bit. But what the heck was I just talking about?
Well, Breaking Bad.
Oh yeah, Breaking Bad. So I my sister texted me and asked me, "Are you watching the Olympics?" And because she remember once I used to get Japanese channels. And because I used to speak Japanese and I would get the actual Japanese channel so that I could watch Japanese and practice my Japanese. And she remembered being at my place, which I don't remember, that there we were watching the Olympics and there was more, they could see more than what was shown on the American TV. And she asked me if I still had that. And I said, no, I can't even see the Olympics because it just so happens that Sling, which is the channel I got to watch NBA, that are not league, that are full national broadcast, League Pass doesn't show them, doesn't have NBC Sports. I mean, and I will not pay for another app. I just will not out of principle. I mean, you can $10 a month be $10 a month to death. And all these apps you got, I mean, there's so many apps. And so the same thing with Breaking Bad, I guess it's on AMC and I will not pay for another app. I got Netflix, I got Amazon Prime, and I think that's about all I got. And I'm not going to pay for any more. I just refuse on principle. Doggone it.
Yeah, I get it.
So I'm behind on not Breaking. I'm saying the wrong one. It's Better Call Saul. It's not Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad has been gone a long time. It's Better Call Saul is what I'm talking about. I misspoke. I'm at least a season behind on that. So
yeah.
Have you watched all of Breaking Bad? You said you hadn't watched any of it.
I've watched some of it. I watched it at a certain point, and it was consuming my life. And I forced myself to stop because I wasn't being productive. I was just watching Breaking Bad.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's an absolutely amazing show. So, yeah, great writing. And, I should have been said Better Call Saul, which is a prequel to Breaking Bad, is the one that I'm a season behind on. And Bob is the guy who collapsed on set. Bob, I can't think of his last name. But he started out as a writer for Saturday Night Live. Yeah, I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't. Breaking Bad is awesome because you kind of, like, you get to see Walter become a villain, so you still love him. You know,
that's the master, that's the part of it. He went from the protagonist to the antagonist.
Yeah.
And you're confused. You're used to, you know, we're trained to love the protagonist, but the antagonist is supposed to hate. And when they change and they switch places gradually, you know, that's the magic. That's why it's one of the best shows ever, you know. So, well, today, the subject that we listed, we've had a couple of great guests on, musical guests. We had Kit Wakely, and who's phenomenal composer. His album for Symphony for Sinners and Saints, number one on the Billboard charts.
Awesome.
Three songs, number one on the Billboard charts. I mean, that's any musician's dream to have a chart-topping song. And not just some podunk, you know, chart. The Billboard is the chart. I mean the Billboard chart. Anyone, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's a real deal. It's not some thing that you can buy your way on it or And he's got 5 number ones now. 2 album. He topped the album charts in 2. And the singles 3. And he's still going. And then Michael Fortunato is your friend. And talking about Madison M3 movement.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about Tim and Jimmy.
Yeah.
How to build a real estate empire. Not everyone knows about what we've been up to over the past year. But we're revealing it. We're taking the...
We've been working incredibly hard quietly.
Yeah. And we started in July of 2020 buying real estate, and we have acquired how many units now? 65?
Probably. Oh, no. We're over 100 units.
Oh my gosh, I'm not even up to date.
Yeah. If you've
If we're including, you're including 24 from Central.
Correct.
I guess. Okay.
Including over 100.
Well, Central, we don't own. We have a partner in that, another right. partner. So we don't own all of that. But if we add that, if you added that, I guess we're over 100 units. A couple of them are commercial. There's one. There's the one that's the commercial. That's a auto shop.
Sure.
And
a handful is owned commercial.
And they're all in the town of Madison, Indiana.
Yep.
Your hometown.
Yep.
And the most recent one, which we have the partner in, is Central Hotel and Tavern, which is a hotel, a tavern, and a laundromat.
About to be a restaurant.
About to be a restaurant, yeah. And that's a historical building, quite a big deal. That's a 7-figure deal, that one was.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one in particular.
Yeah, that's the biggest one purchase we made.
There's a lot of levers to pull there.
Yeah.
Things happen. And it's really, you know, it's great for me because growing up here, it's all for the betterment of the town, you know? I mean, it's funny because I feel when we started out, we were just kind of shooting blindly and really didn't know how far we were going to take it or even if it was going to work. And pretty quickly, you know, from leveraging, it was like, oh, we can turn this into that. Well, maybe we can get that. Maybe we can acquire this too. And the best part of it for me has been that we haven't stuck to one singular model. It's felt to me personally, it's been everything I love because it's, you're dealing with people and you get to be creative. And I live for that stuff. And some of the deals that we've done, I mean, we haven't stuck to, like a lot of people in real estate, they say, well, I do this. This is what I do, commercial real estate, or I do duplexes, or I do single family homes, or I only buy apartments, or I do the Berman, or I do contract for deed. And we've done all that stuff.
Yeah. So for people who may not be aware, what is the Burr method? Would you explain that?
The Burr method is buy, renovate, rent, refinance. And it's one of my favorite ones. So what it means is, like, if you can find a place that needs some work and you can buy it cash, the model is you acquire the property with cash. And you renovate it immediately, and then you get a renter in there. After you get the renter in there, you go to the bank and you refinance the property. I think that's the most powerful one, personally, because once you extract that money, so like there's, I'm not going to like talk details of which properties, but there was a particular property that we acquired for, I think maybe 30 grand or something, and put got 20 in it and then got a mortgage for 110. Am I right?
Yes.
So in essence, we just printed, you know, $55,000 from acquiring that property. And the beauty of it is that $55,000, then you leverage it out. I think the Burr method is the most powerful one. And like, if I could say to anybody that hadn't done anything in real estate before and they said, where do I start? My first question would be, can you swing a hammer? because if you can, the place to start is with the Bird Method. In my humble opinion, and I'm no expert, but in the short time we've been doing this, it's like, man, that's amazing.
Well, our model has worked because we have a division of labor, so to speak. And I was kind of the finance side of it, coming up with the down payments. And you've done all the work. And I never got into real estate before because I didn't want to get calls at 2 a.m. for broken toilets. And when I found you as a partner who was willing to take all those calls, that's why we got into real estate. And now we got so big that we were able to hire people to take those calls.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there was an interim time where you had to take those calls.
Oh, man, dude, COVID. It's funny now because I see so many people and they're like, oh, man, how was COVID? Was it a nice vacation for you? And I'm just like, you have no idea. I worked so hard through COVID and managing all those properties and property acquisition. And there was one day that I started to add up hours and I was like, I wonder how much I worked this week. And it was like over 100 hours. And then I thought like, what was the week before that? And it was like over 100 hours. And what's the week before that? And I was like, don't add this up anymore. Just keep working. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So it's not for the faint of heart.
No, not at all.
But what's been consistent for our entire, and I don't know if this presentation is making any sense. We're kind of bouncing all over, but what's been consistent in all the different models that we've done is that we've got a minimum metric for our return, return on cash.
And it works.
Cash on cash. And it's a pretty high number that we require before we'll make the investment. And so whatever cash we have to put into a deal, we need to make a significant, much better return than the stock market brings.
Oh, sure.
And much better return than pretty much everything else. Now there's more risk, of course. I mean, things could fail along the way. Now we got a 22 apartment building.
Yeah.
And one of the problems with that building was they were snaking out the sewer every month.
Yeah.
And can you explain how you, that's not happening anymore, right?
No, that's over.
Could you explain your countermeasure to stop that from happening?
Being a good property manager requires people skills. And I kind of figured out what was going down pretty early on, that there was an elderly woman in there, and it was a process of elimination thing. There is an elderly woman.
Well, first of all, you figured out what was clogging it.
White.
Right? We had to snake it. It was, yeah.
Wipes.
Do you call them?
They're wipes, like baby wipes.
Baby wipes, yeah.
And as soon as I saw them, I knew.
And you see them when you snake it out, right?
Yeah, exactly. And as soon as I saw them, I'm like, baby wipes. Like, there's no, a baby can't even use this many wipes. Like, this is an elderly person that's using baby wipes. And in process of elimination, I went to this, and she was sweet as could be. And I just went and politely asked her, you know, please don't ever do that again. And we haven't had that problem.
And what you asked her not to do was don't flush baby wipes down the toilet, is what you asked her to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, she didn't know it was a problem. And once you explained it to her, she hasn't been. Now, there are some who have been difficult, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I mean,
we're going to be difficult no matter what. I mean, just the law of that is when you get that many people. And what's funny is that we've had people involved in leases that would say, you know, the place will be exactly like it was when they moved in. And then they'll start complaining about everything about the place. Like, as if I just stuffed them in there and they'd never seen it before they moved in. And to those people, I always say, well, I'll let you out of your lease if you really don't like it. And then they're fine. Oh, no, I'm good here. You know, it's the funniest thing, man. I mean, like being in that role, there's sort of this weird thing that happens with psychology of like some people are just looking for somebody to not be nice to. And they'll do it to the waiter or the waitress or anybody that's in a position that they feel like they have to listen to them not be nice. And there were a few of those people that did that to me, you know, through the course of being a property manager. And I'm sure our property manager deals with it still. There's just some people that are wired that they just need somebody to kind of dump on, for lack of a better term. But we were really, really lucky because when we started doing this, the market was super sleepy. Nothing was happening. And then after we acquired most of this stuff, it just blew all the way up, especially in Madison. We were so blessed with the timing of like when we started it. If we would have started doing what we started doing July of last year, if we would have started July this year, it wouldn't work. There wouldn't even been anything.
And that was luck, really. I mean, it pays, you know, the saying it's rather be lucky than good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and anyone who's a successful business person, there's been a number of lucky moves along the way.
Absolutely.
It's just a fact, because there are probably another 10 or 100 in an alternative dog in the box universe where they didn't cat in the box. Sorry, not the dog. Cat in the box universe. That's another whole nother story. Thank you, Henderson.
We should have one of these days.
Yeah. What's that?
We should have Henderson on one of these days.
We should. Well, that's a good one. Yeah, we're trying to add guests, and Mike Henderson is a genius and a good buddy of Jimmy's. I feel like I know him, and I've never met him because you talk about him a lot.
He's great.
He lives out in Silicon Valley. Right? Yeah. California, Silicon Valley, right?
Absolutely lives in Haywood.
Anyway, he talks about the alternative universes, and there's this German theorist who said if the cat's in the box and if you don't look, is the cat actually dead or alive? I don't remember how the theory goes. It's
something, I don't even know if I'm smart enough to word it, but it's something to the effect of if the cat dies in the box and nobody observes that the cat's dead, then the cat's not really dead.
And it also ties in with alternative universes.
Yeah.
There's a straight up, James Adams, straight up. I'm not sure what James is talking about there. That was 2 minutes ago. So what were you talking about 2 minutes ago? I'm not sure. What's that?
We should have James on one of these days.
Sure. Yeah. If you
recognize. We used to work at a restaurant called The Steer back in the day when I was a little kid. And he went and did like all kinds of level military business after school.
But anyway, you know, let's talk about the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos. There was a time where it could have fallen on the other side of the knife when, you know, Amazon was not making any money. And this is way off track about a bit of real estate business, but eBay was the place to order stuff. eBay, I mean, who even thinks of eBay anymore? I don't think of buying stuff on eBay. If I'm wanting to buy musical gear, I go to Reverb.com. That's my go-to place. eBay used to be the place, but to me, eBay is like the sleazy place to buy stuff, the low-end stuff. Anyway, Amazon was not making any money, and he made the idea of saying, hey, let's make it, you could get two-day delivery if you paid for it, like $25 per shipment or something like that. And he said, we're going to allow people to subscribe. And if you pay $80 for the year, you get free shipping for all your shipments. And all his people, his vice president, says, you're absolutely crazy. We're going to go bankrupt. And he said, we'll make it so that we won't go bankrupt, which means because that only was a problem if they had to airship. If they could truck it and get it in there in 2 days, they would make money. So that means they had to build a whole bunch of warehouses. And that's what they did. The operations guy worked their butts off and made that work. And Amazon made money, didn't go under. And it could have gone the other way. It easily could have gone the other way. They could have gone under, and it would have been one of those, you know, stories in the scrap heap. Elon Musk almost went under. Elon Musk, everybody's sexy favorite, you know, exciting, young. All the young people love Elon Musk.
I hate Bezos. Bezos was on the brink of completely falling apart at one point, but it went the right way for him, and now everybody hates him because he's so successful. They loved him if he fell.
Sure. So we had luck, you know, better be lucky than good. And we were our timing. I mean, I think our model still could work, but it wouldn't have been as
does still work. We're still doing it.
We're still doing it. And we've kind of, go ahead. What'd you say?
Sorry, I cut out for a minute.
Yes, you did.
It's really just developing systems.
Yes.
I mean, what we're doing, I mean, it still works. It's always going to work. And like any good system does. If something goes wrong, it's because the system wasn't implemented properly. If that's not the case, then there's something wrong with the system itself.
Yeah. And we've tried, there's so many systems out there. There's so many different ways to acquire properties. You can sell or financing. You can do sheriff's auctions, distressed sales.
We did that too.
We did that. We bought one that way, I think.
Yeah.
And made out like a mint on that one. That one worked out really well. You can do tax liens. Tax liens is another way.
Tax liens.
We did some tax liens once. Tax liens interesting because we went to the tax lien sale in Indiana. Each state is different. And in Indiana, they have the sales once a year. Am I right? Yeah, the sheriff sales are every month, but the tax liens are every once a year. And we went to the tax sale, and some of these properties, you know, like there's $5,000 against them, and people are bidding them up to six figures. Now, the property is worth that, but let's say you got a property that's worth $200,000, and there's a tax lien against it of $10,000. That nobody paid the taxes for a while. And then the city makes that bill go up by, they mow the lawn and they charge $100 every time they mow the lawn of the property that's nobody's living at. So the bill goes up to $10,000. And people are bidding on that property up to $150,000, which it's still worth more than that. But what didn't realize, and we couldn't get explained to us until we actually got into it, that we thought that the person to redeem it had to pay off that $150,000, but that's not the case. In order to redeem it, all they have to do is pay the tax lien plus some penalties. So maybe they got to pay $12,000, but for a whole year, you have to put that $150. In this theoretical case, you have to put the $150 down, and your money's tied up for a whole year. And after 1 year in the state of Indiana, you get paid interest on it, but I think it's 12%. But your money's tied up, and you don't have access to the property. You can't insure the property. The property could literally be devastated, and you're still out. You're 150.
In a flood, maybe.
Maybe in a flood, which there was in Madison.
Happened to us just now.
And you don't have access to that property, and your money's tied up. And we're like, why are these people bidding up these properties? Now, we did get two of them, but we paid what the lien was. We didn't bid them up. So that is absolutely, to me, why pay, if you pay more than the lien and your money's tied up and you can't even access the property, you can't insure it, anything that happens to it. So let's talk about the flood. And it did hurt us a bit, but we had insurance, and we came out really very nice. But on Walnut Street, where we bought properties, there was a flood. When was that, a month ago?
About a month ago.
And there was some significant damage. We're talking 50. How much damage? 50 grand, maybe?
More than that.
On our properties. And thank God we had insurance. And most of the checks have come in already. But if we hadn't had insurance, we would have had to eat that. But and one of the properties that we had a tax lien on is down there. And we technically can't have access to it, but we were able to get access to it and pumped out the water that was in the basement there.
That tax lien thing is the most confusing thing I've
ever. Absolutely.
And even the guy that was hosting the tax lien, having him explain things, I don't think he really had a handle on it. It was like if you're a little kid and you're in school and you ask your teacher, you know, what's 2 + 2 = 4? And they're like, I have no idea. That's what I felt like at the tax lien thing. It's like nobody really understands it. It's as if a lunatic just set it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nobody went back to change it.
Now, and I did go. Now, I went to this investment seminar in Nashville, Success Resources, it was called. And all these people came in pitching their deal, and it was really a bunch of upsells. And Tony Robbins came and spoke. It was the first time I ever heard Tony Robbins speak. He wasn't pitching anything. He just spoke for 4 hours. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And Gary Vee came and spoke, and a few other big-name guys, three-day event. But some of them were selling stuff, you know, like how to invest in stock markets, three-day course on how to invest in stock markets, how to do tax liens. And I actually bought the tax lien one, and then I ended up getting my money back because you have 30 days to get your money back. And I think it was $3,000. I'm glad I didn't, because there are some states, depends on the state, they actually pay pretty good interest. So they pay like a 18% interest. So for that year, if your money's tied up, you're getting 18% interest on it. Now, you may end up with the property, because if they don't pay it off, but if they pay it off, you get paid that interest.
Right.
And so there is a game where you get a higher interest than you can get anywhere else by putting your money, and you may end up with the property. Now, but then there's the situation where people are living there. You got to evict them. I mean, it's just.
And your money's dead for a year.
Are we ever going to do another tax lien, Jimmy, do you think?
I hope not.
I hope not as well, because unless it's a property that's worth like $500,000 and the tax lien's only like $5,000 or something, I mean, some variation of that. But I mean, we go buy that property that we own and one day we'll get in September will be the 1 year, but we can't insure it, and we can't go into it. I mean, you know, anything could happen to it.
You know, the biggest reason why I don't want to do that again is because we did that, and I still don't understand it. You actually do something, and you're still like,
Yeah, and we don't have the title yet. I mean, something could happen where we don't get the title. And it's just so weird. It's such a, I would call it a Kafka-esque system.
Yeah.
You know, Franz Kafka wrote a book, and Kafka-esque is something that is just, you cannot understand it. It is just beyond the bureaucracy of it. And like you said, but there were people there. There was a woman next to me that I talked to, and she was from Indianapolis, and she goes around. How many counties are there in Indiana? 56 counties in Indiana?
Yes.
Pretty sure there's 56 counties in Indiana. And every county has their own tax lien sale. And she would go around to each county and bid on this stuff. And that was her job. So there are companies who do this. And must make a think it's a decent business. There was a couple of guys that kept bidding each other up that went into the six figures. They bid on many properties, and a number of them. There was at least one guy that probably had to write a check for $750,000.
Yeah, easy.
Maybe $1 million on these tax liens. He was going crazy on it, and we're sitting there going, "Why are you doing this?" And
right.
Just tax liens is not something I would recommend. Burr method, I would recommend. Contract for deed, I would recommend. If you can get some properties and a seller was willing to seller finance it. Cash is always nice.
Yeah. Cash is, you know what's fun? One of the guys that used to, he's a young man. You remember TC?
TC.
TC that worked for a little bit. You met TC. He worked on our construction crew for a little bit. Younger guy. He was gonna go work.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He was the ladies' man guy. Yeah.
Great kid, man. Hard work.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
And I got the biggest kick out of it, because the last time I saw him a few weeks ago.
He wanted to be in to get a union job doing something, working on the line or something.
He's getting into real estate.
Oh, he is?
Amazing. Yeah, he just bought his first rental property, and he said, you know, I just bought my first rental property, and he said, you know what I didn't know is that you can't buy one with cash. I guess he literally, like, not money wire, literally tried to buy it with cash, like the day of closing. Like, here's my.
You're cutting out, bud.
I'm sorry, bud. But he literally tried to, like, give them cash for the purchase.
James Scott is a great comment. Better to, this is a few minutes back. I'm sorry I missed it and didn't put it up until now, James. Better to be lucky than good. Absolutely. And everything happens for a reason. Absolutely. Yeah, they go hand in hand.
So true.
I interrupted you. Go ahead, Jimmy. What were you saying?
No, but he didn't. He was confused about like having to do a money wire or money order. That he thought he was going to show up the day of closing.
Oh, I got you. Actual cash. Oh.
And he, it was so great, man. I was so proud of him.
I got a bag of cash here. Why won't you take my?
Exactly. I love nuts and bolts people like that. You know, like he thought, well, I got this much cash. I got $50,000 cash. I want to buy a couple of houses, you know? And he was like, this is going to slow me down that I can't get him with cash. And I was like, dude, you're going to crush it. Like just his attitude about it was like, I don't have time to do the money wire things. Like he's going to be a billionaire one of these days.
Oh yeah. I wanted to hire him. Remember I tried to hire him because I could see this kid's going a long ways. He's Absolutely. Got the look. He's got everything going for him. I mean,
yeah, he was mad that he had to do a money wire, which I thought was awesome. But that's the whole thing. It's like, I think it's who's the Virgin, the guy that owns Virgin. What's that guy's name? The Virgin Records guy flies all over. Richard Branson.
Yeah.
Ready, fire, aim. That's Richard Branson's motto. And really that's what we've done with every business venture that we've done. It has been ready, fire, aim. Let's start taking steps and we'll figure it out as we go.
I mean, we have gotten some distressed properties.
Sure.
That we turned into gold. Some of them were more stressful than we were dealing with one that we're still dealing with it.
Absolutely.
That has a lot of bad renters. Trying to getting them out has been a problem, and we got that property so cheap. I mean, once we do get them out and we're cash flowing, we're minting money there. But there are some issues before we do it, and I think it's given you some of the gray hairs in your beard that particular property.
I know it has. That there's been more headache come off of that one property, but you know, once it's done. And you wouldn't believe how many people that I see downtown that live close to that. They're like, thank you, Jimmy. Thank you. Thank you for cleaning that place up. Thank you for getting those people out of there.
Yeah, it was.
And it's going to just help all of the other properties that we have around it. You know, we just keep doing that and keep doing that, keep doing that and keep doing that. And it's really betterment for the entire town.
Right.
Every step of the way.
I mean, so we have renovated a number of properties, and it doesn't hurt that we also have a construction company.
Right. Yeah. So. And amazing, amazing guys on that crew.
Who's the leader of our construction company?
My brother, Ralphie. Absolutely. We've got Ralphie.
Ralphie is.
We got my brother, who's incredible. Matt Cyrus is a boss of a carpenter. We've got a lot of really good. My nephew's becoming a great carpenter. We're really lucky. Yeah. Really. And so, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, so having you do the construction and you have your own company to do it, that is a huge level up, I feel. So not everybody can do that, but that has helped us. We're you know, completely integrated, and we're continuing to look at other things. Our newest business we're starting is our property manager. Is helping us get into the taxi business, and we'll have a taxi business within our start date is a week from today, right?
Yep. Create your own economy.
You know, so
one of the most brilliant things I've ever heard, and I try to focus on that now. If I spend a dollar, I try to think, why am I spending this dollar and none of it's coming back to me? You know, and it's getting more and more like, oh, I'm spending this dollar, but somehow I'm getting a portion of this dollar back. And I look for the soft spots there. Why am I spending so much on food? Okay, let's open a restaurant. You know what I mean?
And it's working. I mean, there's something unique about Madison, Indiana. I mean, it's an up. Tell our listeners that may not know what Madison, Indiana is.
It is a synopsis. The largest contiguous historic landmark in the United States of America. The whole downtown of Madison is a historic landmark. It's also been designated as arts district. I know I'm saying that wrong. Jim Nyberg would probably punch me in the side of the head because I'm saying that wrong. But it's incredible. It's kind of like 13,000 people. There's 40,000 people in 10 minutes. So it feels like way more than a 10,000 or 13,000 person town. And all of the architecture is incredible downtown.
Gorgeous. Just beautiful.
It's a beautiful little town. It's on the river. It was almost the capital of Indiana at one point before the invention of the train. And the train kind of, you know, slowed that down. And then it ended up becoming Indianapolis. But it's a great place to live, and we're never going to run out of work. I mean, the downtown has all of these. There's not enough hours in the day because I still, every time I go through downtown, I look at these old buildings, and I'm like, man, if there was 100 hours in a day, then we could buy all of these old buildings and ultimately just renovate the whole town. And it's in the process of happening. I mean, it's catching fire. A lot of people are doing what we're doing. But what we've done that I feel has been substantially different than what anybody else has done, we went to the darkest places. You know, like we went to the parts of town that are like, these houses are really cheap. We can make this work, but we're going to have to renovate the whole block. You know, that kind of stuff.
And we are. We have, I don't know, how many houses do we have on Walnut Street now? We've got... at least six or seven, maybe.
It's a bunch.
And then we got the tax lien one, which we'll hopefully get in September. And so it's been, not all of them are finished, and we got a setback with the flood. There's going to be need more work on some of them. We haven't done all the flood work that needs to be done to get them reoccupied. So there definitely have been setbacks.
Well, that's, you know, I have another young friend who I've kind of had conversations with on a regular basis because he's aware of what we're doing. And in some sense of the word, I'm sort of mentoring him. I'm not really doing much for him other than just telling him things that I know. And the comment that I keep driving home with him is, you know, the trouble with real estate, everybody can do it. But that's not what everybody really wants. Everybody wants to be able to do it and it be easy, and it's not. You know, if you want it, that opportunity is there for everyone, but it's not easy. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of details. It's a lot of moving parts.
But it's also a lot of fun.
Oh, I love it, dude. I love it. Once it clicked in my brain, that it was like, when we first started doing it, and I was like, this is just like playing music. You know, once that feeling hit me of like, this is the same thing. Like, you're dealing with people. It's the audience. You know, you have to have the right tools. You got to bring the right guitar. You match the right guitar with the right amplifier. And then being able to get creative. Like, once I saw that we were going to do more than one thing, and now it's just a thing of like, how do we want to renovate this property? Or how do we want to get creative in the sense of extracting as much cash flow as possible out of something?
And there's different ways to get cash flow. I mean, you can do your normal apartment rent, 1 year lease, but there's also Airbnb that is possible. And we're looking at turning at least one of our buildings into Airbnb. And certainly Madison is a great candidate for that because there's a lot of tourists that come there. And right. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful city on the hill, kind of overlooking the river, the Ohio River, which is not a small river. I mean, I didn't realize that's a big river. And the Airbnb is a viable move. Now, we did look at one property that was gorgeous, just state-of-the-art, right across the street from the, what's that? The
Near Mansion.
Yeah. And we were looked at buying it, and it was set up for Airbnb. I think it had 6 bedrooms, and every bedroom had a shower had a full bathroom, full bath. Shower and bath, every bedroom. So that's perfect for Airbnb, common area, very well appointed. But when we ran the numbers, because that's our, we always run the numbers, and it's all about the numbers. And the numbers didn't reach our metrics, so we didn't buy it.
It wasn't, we were done. And you know, that's what everybody here is saying. They're like, "Well, you should do Airbnb. You wouldn't believe how much money you make." And I'm like, "Well, believe it or not, what we're doing is better than that so far."
Yeah, it's all the I think the one bedrock is that we analyze it based on unemotional numbers and what it'll bring for our return on our cash, and that is the metric that is inviolable. If it blops, I don't think we've purchased a single property, even ones we really loved, that was below our bedrock minimum numbers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now we're besting our numbers.
We're raising the numbers. The numbers have gotten higher. We won't do it unless it's even substantially better than we first started out, because we're not satisfied. We need better returns.
That's a great problem to have.
You know, so how did we get started in this business, Jimmy?
Well, a gazillion different things.
I wanted to talk about in my kitchen.
Man, I think it was like the second time that I had ever met you before that you obviously saw something in me. I have no idea how you even trusted me that early on or saw whatever it was that you saw. But I think it was literally like the second time I'd ever hung out with you or been to your house, and I was just kind of belly aching a little bit. I'm like, because you know, you asked me like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm a musician. I've been a musician my whole life." And you know, we started talking money. Well, I take as many gigs as I can because hopefully one day I'll get my kids in college and all this stuff. And you're like, "Oh, you will," and just real nonchalantly.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that part. Thank you for sharing that.
Talking about, you know, get my kids into college and stuff, and you're like, "Oh, you will," and like 3 minutes later you're like, "Well, let's go into business together."
I remember that.
Yeah, it's like, okay, let's go into business together.
But that was a year before we started buying real estate, I think.
Right. Well, but we dialed it in. That's why it works. Is that it's your Abe Lincoln comment that I love, is the how many hours is it?
How many hours does it take to chop down a tree?
Right.
And I'm probably bastardizing the quote, but it's something like 5 hours, but you take 4 hours to sharpen the axe.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we did, man. We honed in on it. We dug and dug and dug and dug and dug, and we figured out here's the metric, here's what's going on. And by the time that we struck, like, we had all that already mapped out, coupled with some of, you know, the FMAs and things like that.
Yeah. Failure mode analysis, FMA.
What can go wrong? And we just boxed it in, you know, and it's hard to stop. I mean, both of us still, I mean, one of the things I love most about you, you're my best friend, but one of the things I love most about you is you work so hard, dude, and you don't have to. I mean, you just work hard. You grind it every day. And I do too. And it's hard to stop two guys that go at it hard for 15, 18 hours every single day of their life. You know what I'm saying?
And it's fun, you know, and the goal is, there's a few comments here. It's the capital of the United States.
Yes, sir.
Justin says, "Keep on keeping on." Absolutely. Thank you. So, yeah, it's just fun. And also, I mean, I think both of us want to get to a point where we can, when the dust settles and we have some, I mean, the metric that I have said that we want to get to the point, because we both want to play music, you know, it'd be full-time in music and build it, you know, like Tony Robbins I'm a big fan of Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins has like 70 countries, 70 companies. And
probably buy 70 countries.
He probably could. And the gross sales is like $6 billion. And then you've got Warren Buffett, you know, one of the richest men in the world, who has purchased so many companies. And he stopped investing in the stock market for the most part and just started buying companies wholesale. And then he would leave the previous owner in as a CEO and empower them and basically have a quarterly meeting, come in, hey, show me your numbers for the last quarter. What's your next quarter look like? What do you need for financing? Okay, looks good. We'll see you in 3 months. And that's, I've said that to you numerous times. We want to build businesses and get to that point and have people running them that we trust and that are making a lot of money from that themselves as well. They need, a good worker needs to be compensated for their worth. And if you get the right people, you can do that. And that's because Tony Robbins, 70 companies, Warren Buffett, all the companies he has, he definitely does not get involved in the day-to-day. And so our goal is to get to that point and build that up. And then also, and I know you feel the same way, that the once you reach, you know, give back, and there we have a lot of ideas on how we can give back to, there's a lot of pet, we've talked about even in Madison. I mean, what are some of the things you'd like to see in Madison? You've mentioned for giving back.
Some more resource addiction. That's the first one that, I mean, I think it's widespread all over the country, but we're hit, we're being hit pretty hard. And I would love to see more resources for people that are struggling with drug abuse, alcohol, or, you know, mental problems too. That all those things hit really close to home for me. You know, I had a brother that I was so close to that you know, died very young from alcohol abuse, and I've lost numerous friends to overdose, things like that, suicide, and, you know, just more resources for that.
Absolutely, and I'm all about it. You know, we need to, in fact, perhaps we should be talking about how to start it, you know, and yeah. And get the, whatever the, all the filings are, the 501c, I don't even know, there's 10, it's like starting a business, but you're starting a nonprofit, and there's all the, you know, you officially have the instead of an LLC, you have the correct terminology. We should start doing that this year, actually. We should, even if we're not doing anything with it, at least we have the framework started, because that's a major part of what I would definitely like to do is, and it's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to play a game and to win at that game. And the process is more fun than the actual success, actually. You know, figuring out how to succeed, something difficult.
If you win or learn, you know, it's the way I look at it. I either win or learn, no losing.
And, I mean, we continue to have crazy ideas. I mean, we're going to be going to Europe, and we're meeting with an app developer. We have an idea for an app for musicians, an app on your phone, right? And yep. I don't know if that'll go anywhere, but what this good friend of ours does, who lives in Poland, and is he has a company that builds apps. And so we may have, that may be another project. Who knows? We just love looking at new ideas, and it's just a lot of fun.
Well, that's the trouble, you know. My mother said a few weeks ago, like, when are you guys going to stop doing different things? And I said, you know what the trouble is? I said, we keep throwing stuff against the wall, but the trouble is it keeps sticking.
It keeps sticking, yeah.
You know what I mean? Nothing's just bounced off the wall yet. Everything we've thrown at is like, oh, that worked. Great, you know?
So we'll see. Well, it's just a lot of fun. And, well, we've gone for our at least 40 minutes. Thank you for hanging with us.
Yeah, thanks for watching. Enjoyed it.
And hope we entertained you or gave you some insights into how we made this happen and gone from zero to over 100 doors. And it's a number of millions of dollars that we've got our DeWolf Enterprises LLC between the two of us. We're the two owners of it. So thanks, William. Thank you. We've been very fortunate and very, very happy so far. And thank you for watching. And yep. We'll see you next time.
Peace.